This is Ozarks at Large. When it comes to education, Common Core state standards and universal pre-kindergarten seem to be in the forefront. Early childhood education begins even earlier than pre-K, as young as 6 weeks of age. As more and more mothers return to the workforce shortly after giving birth, and those children's grandparents remain in the workforce until an older age, more and more infants, toddlers, and preschoolers are spending their days in a child care facility. The Division of Child Care and Early Childhood Education at the Arkansas Department of Human Services regulates these facilities. According to that organization, regulations for facilities are reviewed as the state legislature passes laws that would affect them, such as no smoking in or around certain buildings or the emergency preparedness law. The last time a change in requirements like this was required was in 2011. The rules, however, have not received an unsolicited overhaul in 45 years, until now. David Griffin is the Associate Director of Licensing.
Those have not changed. There have been no major revisions since the law passed in 1969, that's 45 years ago. We have kept pace in Arkansas with basic health and safety standards, and we rank well nationally because of the health and safety issues. But when you look at programming, appropriate curriculum, qualification and training for staff and directors, staff child ratio, those core licensing issues have been unchanged since 1969.
Griffin says the comparison nationally is not a numbers game, but it is reflective of where Arkansas stands with states with similar economic standing. As the state is lagging, the department has proposed various changes to the child care and early childhood education requirements. It is a lengthy process that has been going on for a few months, and one that will end when they take the proposed changes before the Arkansas Early Childhood Commission next month. The commission, comprised of a variety of representatives of stakeholders from around the state, has oversight on all rules and regulations. The proposed requirements have been taken out for several public hearings and remain open for comment through June 30th. Griffin says he and others are still in the process of going through all of this information to look at where changes need to be made, as they do want to be sensitive to the needs and wants of child care providers throughout this process. When and if the commission grants approval, they will go back through the legislative subcommittees, such as the Joint Committee on Children and Youth and the Rules and Regs Committee, before final promulgation. Pending final approval, new regulation booklets will be printed and sent to all child care providers in the state, after which they will be given 60 days before beginning enforcement activity. One of the proposed requirements that is being revisited per public comment regards facility directors, and that they will all have to have a college degree either in childhood education or a degree in anything in experience in childhood education.
We have had some concerns from across the state that having a degree requirement and locking it into that may be difficult for small programs in rural areas. So one of the things we're doing right now is we're revisiting that particular proposal and looking at if there might be a third option that would combine some formalized training with maybe either an AA degree or some other type of certification in lieu of a degree.
Currently, within this proposed requirement, anyone who has previously qualified or has been employed as a director, either currently or in the past, will maintain their qualifications, thus softening the impact by grandfathering them in. Across the state, there are a variety of types of child care facilities, from the federally funded, the mom and pop, corporate run, to the stay-at-home mom keeping her own children, plus a few extra. Griffin says the requirements for each are the same, but they are trying to build in some flexibility to help the smaller facilities or those in rural areas. Another requirement that could potentially hurt smaller operations is a reduction in the teacher-to-child ratio. For the youngest ones, it would move from one teacher for six kids to one to five. As with much of their research, Griffin says they looked to similar states.
We invariably found out that the way that they did that, the way that they kind of softened the blow to move forward in that area, is to grandfather in, for a limited period of time, existing providers. And we have built that in on that one. At this point, the grandfather clause is stated as existing providers would not have to meet the new ratios for a period of about 2 years past the implementation date, whatever that ends up being.
He did say that Arkansas is one of only five states in the nation that still has a 1-to-6 ratio. Every other state, other than the other four, is doing much better. Positive and frequent interaction between teachers and infants and toddlers is very critical and can shape the rest of a child's life and education. It is difficult to meet these interaction requirements because teachers could spend so much time meeting the basic needs, like changing diapers, putting the babies down for naps, or feeding, which doesn't leave a lot of time for intellectual stimulation, unless those ratios are lowered. Federal-funded early childhood program Head Start's performance standards are within the National Head Start Act of 1981. Embedded in that is that all facilities must also follow state licensing requirements. Brenda Zedlitz is the Director of Children's Services for the Economic Opportunity Agency of Washington County, which operates 8 Head Start locations in the county. She says that the program has high standards and is already exceeding the proposed requirements.
For early Head Start, there's the requirement that your ratio is 4 infants, toddlers to 1 teacher caregiver. And our classrooms, we can have up to 18 per teacher, but we like to cap that off at 15 just for quality of services. And it depends on your ages of your children. If you've got 18 4-year-olds almost turning 5, that's a lot different than 18 3-year-olds who've just come out of the early Head Start classroom. So we have a lot of latitude in our ratio and how we are able to manage our classroom size for quality.
As many who work in education do, Zedlitz has a passion for her job and concurs that brain development is crucial at this early age and thrives on relationships and attachments with adults.
I mean, we're real big on making sure that classroom interactions between the child and the staff are quality and they have the time to actually interact. And it's not just a babysitting daycare services, but there's quality interactions going on because that's how the brain develops.
Corinne McDowell, school director of privately owned for-profit Cedar Crest Academy in Fayetteville, also does her best to keep the number of children to teachers as low as possible. But with teachers and assistants calling in sick or going on vacation, it can be difficult. But Cedar Crest's preference is to remain below the state standard. McDowell says the proposed changes could still put a burden on Cedar Crest financially.
Because we can have the ratio for one child, but the classroom licensing only allows us to have twice the ratio. So if we have six to one ratio, we can only have 12 kids in the room, even if it's big enough for 15. The 1-to-5 ratio is going to bring us down. Instead of being able to have 12 kids in the room, we'll only be able to have 10. And so financially, in this hallway alone, we're going to lose 8 kids. And so that's roughly about $5,800 a month in tuition that we'll be losing because of the new ratios. And you know, we'll adapt and we'll make it work, but it's gonna be a challenge.
2 degree teachers are in the infant and toddler hallway, serving as leads and mentors to all 4 classrooms. The preschool hallway houses a degreed teacher in each classroom, upholding the curriculum of the national owner, Phoenix Children's Academy. Cedar Crest is just 2 years old, the newness perhaps putting them at an advantage to some providers. The building was designed with the National Infant Toddler Environmental Rating Scale and Early Childhood Environmental Rating Scale in mind. The building has a very rustic and cabin-like look and is complete with 36 cameras throughout. The security is not a requirement, but it is becoming the norm among newer facilities. Of the proposed requirements, one does look directly to the building and the facilities. It's in regards to playground safety, and it will affect Cedar Crest's current equipment on their 4 playgrounds. They have 1 for each age group.
Currently, the regulations require that any equipment that where the children can stand that's 2 feet up off the ground has to have the use areas, they call them use zones, the wood chip areas. But now it's going to be any stationary equipment where they're above ground level, period, at all, even if it's just a couple of inches. So that might affect, you know, a couple of our pieces.
McDowell has a degree in education and has been working in early childhood since 1990, herself serving as a licensing specialist for the state, going into facilities just like this one, making sure they're following the rules. DHS works on a trimester system, visiting every 3 months. Zedlitz at Head Start has been in the field since 2002 and has also served as a licensing specialist. She says the public awareness of the importance of the early years on critical childhood development in just the 12 years since she came into the area has really grown, but that there's also more of a demand for childcare as women have more of a place in the workforce, saying childcare isn't just a place for the kids to go while parents are at work. Quality matters, and help for the smaller providers is necessary.
I feel for the business owners who are having to make these adjustments. Again, I think there needs to be some sort of system of subsidizing childcare. Every childcare needs to be quality. Every child needs that quality experience. Parents have to work. Parents have to make a living to provide for their children, and we need a way to make sure those children are receiving what they need while those parents are being responsible parents to provide for their families.
Tanya Williams, director of the Division of Child Care and Early Childhood Education at Arkansas DHS, says programs with high quality standards make a difference and set examples for the rest of the state, and that's what they're trying to build.
These are minimum licensing standards. They're not equal or equitable to Arkansas Better Chance or Head Start, but it's the beginning foundation of helping the field to understand what you're doing in your program and what you're doing in those classrooms matter. You know, let's set the stage for a good one. And so, you know, there's a lot of evidence in all of that, and we have really good information now that in settings where people are not using high standards, the children are not performing as well as they go into public education, and that's sort of unconscionable.
A public comment period for the proposed requirements is open through June 30th. Information is available at arkansas.gov/childcare. For information on the child care and education programs at Cedar Crest Academy, cedarcrestnwa.com. And for more information on Head Start programs, eoaheadstart.org. This is Ozarks at Large.
So you may not have been able to take a long lunch break or play hooky today to watch the U.S.-Germany World Cup match, but we do have sports with an international flair in the second half of today's OAL.
You're on a horse that's moving about 40 miles an hour while the ball is moving, and it's bouncing in the grass, and it's going all these different directions. It would be like having, like you standing in the back of a pickup while someone throws a baseball at you while you're driving past and trying to hit it.
Polo in Bentonville. We explain chuckers and more later on Ozarks at Large.